Have you ever wondered why your mind seems wired for worry? Why happiness feels fleeting while anxiety lingers? The answer lies in an unexpected place, the evolutionary history encoded in your skull. Your brain developed not to make you happy, but to keep your ancestors alive. And that ancient survival machinery now creates most of your modern suffering. But here's the revolutionary insight. Understanding how your brain creates suffering also reveals how to rewire it for lasting peace. Your brain isn't a static computer. It's more like a garden that grows in response to what you plant. Every thought you think, every emotion you feel, literally reshapes your neural pathways. This isn't New Age wishful thinking. It's hard neuroscience called neuroplasticity. When neurons fire together repeatedly, they physically wire together, creating highways of habit in your mind. Consider London taxi drivers who spend years memorizing the city's labyrinthine streets. Brain scans reveal their hippocampi, the brain's mapping center, actually grow larger than average. Or look at experienced meditators whose brain scans show dramatically increased activity in regions associated with attention and emotional regulation. Your daily mental habits are sculpting your brain right now, whether you're aware of it or not. Your brain comprises three evolutionary layers: the reptilian brainstem, basic functions, the limbic system, emotions, and the cortex, complex thought. These layers often conflict. Older, faster, emotional systems hijack rational ones. This 3-pound organ contains roughly 100 billion neurons, each with 5,000 connections, creating complexity where possible mental states outnumber atoms in the universe. Evolution gave our ancestors three survival strategies that now create suffering: separating self from other, seeking stability in constant change, and approaching opportunities while avoiding threats, generating endless craving and aversion. Your brain operates like Velcro for negative experiences and Teflon for positive ones. When ancestors heard rustling grass, those assuming tiger survived more than those assuming wind. Natural selection hardwired negativity bias into your circuits. Today, your brain scans for problems, registers threats more deeply than pleasures, and recalls pain more vividly than joy. You're running Stone Age software in a Space Age world. The Buddha taught that while pain is inevitable, illness, aging, loss, most suffering comes from our reactions. Imagine an arrow striking your leg. That's unavoidable suffering. Screaming, "Why me? This is unbearable," is shooting a second arrow into yourself. These second arrows trigger your stress response. Your amygdala floods your body with stress hormones, heart pounding, muscles tensing. This response evolved for genuine emergencies, but now fires during traffic jams, work emails, or anxious thoughts. The tragic irony: most second arrows fly when there's no first arrow at all. You suffer over neutral situations, imagining threats that don't exist. A compliment triggers suspicion. A pleasant moment sparks worry it won't last. Chronic stress weakens executive control while strengthening emotional reactivity. The antidote lies in your parasympathetic nervous system, your body's natural calm. Deep breathing, muscle relaxation, or gentle attention to physical sensations activate this system, strengthening neural pathways that make peace more accessible. Your brain's negativity bias lets positive experiences slip away while negative ones stick. Counter this through three deliberate steps. First, actively notice positive facts: a stranger's smile, task completion, warm sunlight. Second, savor the experience for 10 to 20 seconds, the minimum time needed for long-term storage. Notice where you feel it: warmth in your chest, relaxation in your shoulders, lightness in your breath. Third, imagine the experience sinking into you like warmth into a shirt, becoming part of who you are. This is strategic neural engineering. Emotional arousal strengthens synaptic connections through neurochemicals like dopamine and norepinephrine. By enriching positive experiences with emotion and attention, you embed them in implicit memory, your unconscious storehouse of expectations and emotional habits. You can even heal negative memories through reconsolidation. When you retrieve a painful memory, it becomes temporarily malleable, simultaneously holding that memory alongside current feelings of safety or strength begins reweaving it with healthier emotional tones. Small, consistent practices accumulate like water carving a canyon. You possess more power over your future self than anyone else. The deepest source of suffering may be the apparent self, that sense of being a unified, enduring I who owns experiences and directs actions. We take things personally, identify with achievements and failures, and suffer when our self-image is threatened. Yet neuroscience reveals this unified self as an elaborate illusion with no fixed location in the brain. Your sense of self emerges from distributed neural networks, autobiographical memories in the hippocampus, emotional coloring from the amygdala, executive planning in the prefrontal cortex, body awareness in the insula. These networks activate in shifting patterns, creating a constantly reconstructed self that only appears continuous. Like frames in a film creating the illusion of motion, your brain strings together snapshots of self-experience into apparent continuity. The self depends entirely on conditions, genetics, personal history, current mood, social context. Notice how your sense of self shifts between a job interview and dinner with close friends. Which is the real you? Both and neither. The self is a process, not a thing. It's more like weather patterns than a solid object, real but impermanent, coherent but constantly changing. When you relax the grip of self-identification, what remains is spacious awareness and a quiet joy that doesn't depend on circumstances. Kindness and compassion are both natural expressions of an undefended heart and trainable skills that strengthen specific neural pathways. Traditional loving-kindness practice involves directing wishes toward yourself and others. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you live with ease. These phrases engage prefrontal intention networks and limbic emotional centers, creating new patterns of relating. The real test comes when you've been mistreated. Our evolutionary heritage creates a powerful us versus them mentality. We're wired to extend kindness to our in-group while viewing outsiders with suspicion. The antidote is consciously expanding the circle of us until it encompasses everyone. When you encounter someone you'd normally categorize as other, deliberately find ways they're like you. They want happiness, fear suffering, love their families, have hopes and worries. This simple shift activates different neural networks, moving from threat detection to social connection. Ancient contemplative wisdom now meets modern neuroscience, revealing how meditation trains the mind for peace and clarity. You don't need years in retreat. Small, consistent practices create profound changes. 3 conscious breaths during stress, 20 seconds savoring morning coffee, silent wishes of kindness to someone passing by. These micro practices plant seeds in your mind's garden. Your brain changes whether you direct it or not. Neural pathways you use regularly strengthen, those you neglect weaken. The question isn't whether experience will shape your brain, it will. The question is whether you'll participate consciously in that shaping. Each moment of mindfulness, each savored joy, each expansion of compassion changes your brain from the inside out. You are, right now, becoming your future self. What kind of person will you grow?